Hi, welcome to Lizard People. This is a show where we talk all about conspiracy theories, crazy people, and kooky ideas about what's going on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Caitlin Hempstead. Let's get to the show.
John Leary. Okay. There's lots of Duns. And then Dublin, where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
And where? What about you? Where are you from?
Ethnically or in my
Everything.
Life?
Everything. All
okay.
of it.
So the year is 1642. half of my family's like Russian Jewish and half of my family's like Scottish,
oh, wow,
Irish
okay.
sort of stuff. Hmm. But I feel like I know a lot of Americans who have no Irish heritage.
Oh, the
wine's
this
vinegar wine is kicking in. Like, a no Irish heritage who are like very into Ireland, because I have no connection, but I like want to go.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like, it is a nice place and it's really small. It's easy to get around. The weather's not great. You know, if you're used to the weather here, you're going to have to get used to something very different over there. But we do have like nice days. You know, we do have,
And also, I think it depends on what you want. Because for me, rain is like a precious treasure.
Okay.
Because I'm from California. Yeah. So every day of rain is a miracle.
No, absolutely.
So I think
yeah.
I could get way into it.
We get plenty of it. We get a lot of, rain. We get a lot of those kind of gray kind of days where you're just like, oh, I don't want to go to work. You know, like we get a lot of those kind of days. But then when it's sunny, it's absolutely beautiful. It's really
nice.
Do
people just lose their minds?
And, like
go out
every
in sundresses?
Man. And takes his shirt off and walks to the grocery store, like, and you're like dazzled
so
because of the whiteness. Yes.
Wow, that sounds beautiful, like a flock of snow
it's
herons.
It's like March of the
off.
Penguins.
Yeah, amazing. Wow, inspiring to see. One of nature's great phenomena.
I might make a documentary about it when I get back.
I think you should, about the March of the Irishman to the grocery store and then back. Okay.
Are
you ready?
I am not, but let's do it.
Good answer, because I'm going to destroy
you. Are you going to destroy me?
Maybe. We'll find out. We've got a half hour of sincere battling ahead of us.
A half hour, is that all?
Well, there'll be some bits in there, and then we'll get to the, you know.
Is this just a nice guy act? You're just like, oh, where are you from anyway?
Having a good time. Shut up, Connor.
I don't even know what's on your screen there.
You came over here from Ireland to get your ass kicked. On my screen is just hardcore boxing videos to get me pumped.
Oh my God, there's not even any information on there.
No, I'm making it up. No, I did a lot of research. All right.
Okay.
Our guest today, very special guest, Connor Dowling is here all the way from Bonnie Old Ireland. Is that offensive?
I've never heard that.
Okay,
that
I made it
title
up.
Title for Ireland before, but
these boxing videos are making me crazy. He
we'll
is a
it.
Filmmaker, improviser, taking an improv show to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, baby. A podcast host. Listen to his podcast, Real Horror Show. Connor, hey.
Hey, oh, thanks for having me, Caitlin.
Oh, it's such a treat. So happy to have you.
It really is. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay.
But very excited.
Why are you nervous?
Because I think you're probably going to try to destroy me.
I think you're right. I think that's true. Oh, and you should be nervous. And you're probably not scared enough.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Would you like to tell the nice people what you're here to talk about today?
Yes. Okay. So today I'm here to talk about the real reason behind the sinking of the Titanic.
So will you quickly tell us
just
a little backstory of the Titanic?
Titanic. Okay, so the actual...
just in case somebody is dumb and hasn't seen the greatest movie of all time.
Greatest movie of all time. Absolutely. Okay, so the Titanic...
The Unsinkable Molly Brown is the movie I'm referring to. Go on.
Okay. The Titanic was an thought to be unsinkable ocean liner ship, completely decked out with lots of luxurious compartments for luxury travel. And it was built in Belfast in Northern Ireland, which is not where I'm from,
okay.
but it's close. I have been there. And it traveled from the UK when it was built, when it was finished in 1912. It traveled from the UK with, I think it had about 2,500 passengers and crew on it. So it was the biggest ship that had ever been built at that stage. And it traveled across to America. But halfway through their journey or at some point in their journey, they hit an iceberg. And even though this ship was an absolutely colossal piece of engineering, it sank. And there were not enough lifeboats on board.
Surfboards.
There were not enough surfboards. If there had been surfboards.
Oh, can you imagine? So tight.
It would have been pretty cool.
Everybody's hanging 10. Oh, if
only. Oh, those poor people.
Oh, no, I feel bad.
So I think there was like enough lifeboats for like 700 people. And there was like 2,500 people. So it was a bit of a shit show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of people died. And then kind of became this thing in local kind of culture and all around the world people were just talking about the Titanic for years and years and years until eventually James Cameron said, right, I'm going to shut all these fuckers up.
Yeah,
and
that
he
was
made
his main goal.
The best movie of all time.
we have a different favorite movie of all time, but that's
but
fine.
He wanted to, sorry, this is the second best film of all
thank
time.
Thank you so much.
And he wanted to shut everybody up and he was like, look, this is how it went down, so you know, you guys are going to have to be the judge for yourself on what you think really happened, but this is what I think happened. And I think he actually built some apparatus so he could like go underwater and like film the actual wreckage.
Yeah, isn't that wild? For the movie, they like did what no one had ever done and got submarines that were capable of going like however many hundreds of feet underwater in the fucking Arctic to get to this boat.
It's awesome. That's so cool. And I think some of it's still there.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I don't think they got all of it out.
I also got to see an exhibition of a bunch of stuff from it in Las Vegas. They had a like very glitzy, glamoury Titanic exhibit. It was very cool.
In Las Vegas?
Yes.
What an unusual place for it.
It was very weird and it was full of families. And I think that like lots of families come to Vegas and then by the third day, the kid is like, I'm bored.
Right, okay.
And so the parents are like,
hit him with the Titanic.
And there's nothing a kid loves more than history and museums.
And being hit by the Titanic.
And being literally physically hit.
And in Northern Ireland as well, they have a museum. They have, I think it's like it's the shipyard Harland and Wolff where it was built. It's this massive like, it's probably like the size of an air hangar, if not bigger. And you can go there and do a tour and they have like, you know, virtual reality, like, or is it like a simulation kind of thing where you can see it being built? Like they have lots of like facts and things like that. But anyway, who cares about them?
Yeah.
Right.
Dads care about that.
So because it was such a colossal screw up, putting something out there with the brand of unsinkable and then not putting enough lifeboats on it, it gave way to a lot of theories over the years. And, you know, people, I don't think, were satisfied with just it hit into a big piece of ice. There has to be something behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have a couple of my own theories here on this. And I did a lot of research, okay?
So, I can tell. You've got pages and pages. Oh, my word.
The people can hear. I've got like 4 pages.
Yeah, but now that's Irish handwriting.
It's bad handwriting. So I don't know what you're trying to say about Irish handwriting.
I assume that the Irish cannot write nice.
Well,
just kidding.
I should be an example for the entire nation. But basically, I suppose after this process, you could probably call me a Titanic truther.
Ooh,
yeah.
I can and I will.
Yeah, okay. I have. So there's a lot of them out there, but I think the explanation that makes the most sense to me from my research is that the Titanic sank because of a piece of cargo that was buried in the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this before? Mm-hmm. Had you heard this before I came to you?
I had not.
Okay.
And my research was astonishing.
Mm. Okay, interesting. Well, this piece of cargo was a very unsuspecting thing. And I might as well just tell people what it is because the anticipation is going to kill people.
And they've read the title of the episode already.
Okay, so. God, I'm sorry. Just edit all this out.
No, absolutely not.
Edit my preamble. or just add in a drum roll. You're not supposed to hit the table.
I do what I want.
Cursed mummy. Cursed mummy was the precious cargo hidden inside the ship, and that is what caused the ship to sink.
A cursed mummy. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're done here. You've proved it beyond a shadow of a spook.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess my first question is, who's this mummy?
Okay. So the legend goes, we have to go all the way back.
Legend, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't sound very factual to me, but...
We have to go all the way back to Egypt, about 1500 years ago.
Okay.
We're going to have to get comfortable here. And basically, this mummy was an ancient evil priestess called Amen-Ra.
Mm-hmm.
And she was unearthed in the late 1800s by some rich English explorers.
From the sound of them, and tell me if I'm using this word correctly, real lads, four of them.
A bunch of bros.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, lads, yeah. I found this mummy.
Yeah.
In Egypt. Let's bring it back.
Oh, I found a mummy.
I found a mummy, mate.
I could do whatever I want with it. Oh, I'm a white guy.
They were like, let's just put it up in the den.
Mm-hmm.
Back in our place. And something happened. And for whatever reason, this part is a little bit sketchy. They disappeared in Egypt. Call it some sort of lads night out bender gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just forgot about the mummy, maybe. But a lot of people think that bad stuff happened to them. Mummy curse sort of stuff happened to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
somehow the mummy made its way back across the, I was going to say the sea, but do you cross the sea to get from Egypt to England? Yeah,
and then
there was some land, there was some water, there was a carrier pigeon involved.
Big fat carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
The whole human mummy.
And it made its way back to the UK. And every person who came into contact with this mummy, some people had it in their attic. Some people had it under their table, propping it up. Some people had it in their garage for months at
some
a time.
Some people were making mummy brown paint out of the wrapping, which is a real thing that people did. Have you
What's
heard
that?
This?
No, what is that?
Oh, yeah. In Britain, I think in particular, and maybe on the continent, people were so loco for mummies for a while. Like Egyptology was so fashionable and they were so into mummies that they were grinding up human mummies to make paint, like a specific shade of paint.
Oh, called that
mummy
sounds
brown.
Very healthy. That's worse than when you hear there's lead in the paint. You know, there's mummy in the paint. This is a mummy-based paint?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can paint your house with it, but like, don't put it in a kid's
room.
And what
color is it? Is it any color?
It's brown. It's just brown.
It's very dried out kind of.
Sure. Exotic sort of brown, I guess. I don't fucking know, but that's just a fun little factoid.
Okay, right.
So yeah, mate, people were doing all kinds of shit with this mummy.
So, and anyone who came into contact with it, Their shit got fucked up, basically. There was one story of a journalist who took a photo of the sarcophagus with the mummy in it. And when he developed the photo, he immediately went home and killed himself. Now, they don't say that the photo was cursed or anything like that. It could have just been a case that the photo was really bad and he realized he had no career in photography.
Or pitch. What if the photo was so good that he was like, I'll never make anything better than this.
I'll never make anything better than this.
Maybe the curse of the mummy is it's too beautiful.
Oh, God, we just assume that it's this hideous thing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So eventually, this hardened, no-nonsense American.
Oh, I like that.
Think Billy Zane.
Ooh.
In the movie The.
I've never seen even one Phantom. Billy Zane movie, but okay.
I thought you were going to say the Titanic.
No, but that would have been smart.
Okay, so
smart.
Think Billy Zane in The Phantom or the Titanic. It's
or
really the same
Molly Brown.
In each film.
Mm-hmm.
Total badass. And he's like, this is all just coincidences. This is all myth, legend, if you will.
What was his name?
His name was Johnson.
All right. Just Johnson, like Johnson. Cher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. He was like a performance artist in his spare time.
Totally.
But it was like the early 1900s. So, you know.
Not making a lot of money.
So the archaeology was like, you know, his side gig. Mm. So he thinks, let's get this thing back over to America. And what better way to do it by putting it in an unsinkable ship known as the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Literally. Because it happened in the past. Meaningful sip of water. You just so self-satisfied. All right. Who does this story come from?
Good question. from my research, mm-hmm. from my deep research sure. on the internet, it I believe it comes from a man who was actually on board the Titanic.
Ooh.
And his name was William Stead.
Yeah.
You've heard this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. So he was like, hey guys, there's a cursed mummy in the hold of this ship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he died on the ship, actually, mm-hmm. that man. And I believe there was a woman, what was her name? One of the women who he told the story to, her husband also died on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And she reported that he told her this story when she was on the ship. Mm-hmm. But people didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. People didn't believe him because they said, oh, he's a writer. So he's just making this up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's where the argument against the mummy on the Titanic falls apart. Because I haven't even mentioned the second part of my theory.
I'm so interested to see how this is
going
to...
And when I say my theory...
Okay, great. This is all just about our own personal feelings.
Yeah, okay. Because I can see something's brewing inside you, and I think I know what it is.
I've got comments, but
yeah, of course,
I'll hold
of course.
Them till the yeah, proper time.
Yeah, you normally wait for a little bit, but absolutely. I appreciate you humoring me here.
Mm.
Okay. This is where it gets kind of confusing. So I'll try to explain it as easy as possible, right? So among the passengers on the ship of the Titanic were some of the wealthiest people in the world, okay? We're talking financiers, business people, money folk.
Astors, banksters. Rothschilds.
Yes. And Benji Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Isa Straussman.
Sure.
And Jacko Astor. Mm-hmm. So Astor, it was his wife who reported about the mummy.
Mm-hmm.
So what do these three guys who I mentioned have in common?
They didn't like the Federal Reserve.
They didn't like the Federal Reserve. Oh.
Got him.
Okay, so now you see where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can see you're kind of softening to the idea.
I'm interested. I wouldn't say I'm softening.
Okay, yeah. No, that was too much of an assumption.
Razor sharp,
that was too much
baby.
Of an assumption on my part.
Okay.
So all three of these guys opposed the Federal Reserve. And who didn't oppose the Federal Reserve? Who was for the Federal Reserve?
Maybe you've heard of his bank. A little guy called J.P. Morgan.
What?
Fwah, 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 fwah.
J.P.?
Oh, you do your own sound effects. I
oh,
love
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't have enough. We
so
don't have
J.P. Morgan, he was for the Federal Reserve. But he also happened to finance and build the Titanic. Okay, so suddenly it starts getting kind of suspicious. And this is where it all starts to kind of make sense for me. But my only question is, how did he know that he could get all these people to die if they were put on this unsinkable ship?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer, very simply, is he was behind getting that mummy onto the ship. Okay, you're laughing at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm laughing because it's so devilishly brilliant.
Isn't it?
So J.P. Morgan had these political rivals.
Yes.
He was like, I am in favor of creating a Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
These people are against it. I'm going to get them all on the same boat.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to get a cursed mummy on that boat.
Yes.
Bada bing, bada boom, a foolproof plan.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Okay, so.
Thank you.
So, like, you know, it seems pretty extreme, doesn't it? Like, you know, sink the Titanic just so you can knock off like a handful of richies,
mm-hmm.
right? But I read this quote that actually kind of stuck with me, and it was like, or was it even a quote? It was a mention of how J.P. Morgan was involved in this thing called the 1907 Unpleasantness or something. What was it called?
the unpleasantness. Great unpleasantness of 1917.
It was like, you know, the Great Depression, but it was like the Great Unpleasantness.
Sure.
Okay, I don't know where it is, but basically it was like an economic unpleasantness that was happening in America, and it would have crippled America if it ever happened again. And he swore never again. He was very firm. That's not going to happen. And the way we're going to fix that is by setting up this here Federal Reserve, sonnies.
Ooh, tough guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if I need to give you any more information I have a little piece of information that I'm going to hold on to for a little bit.
Okay. But I can't blame you.
Yeah, because it's all I've got. But
well, okay. How did J.P. Morgan know about the mummy? Oh,
okay. That was the little bit that I was going to hold on
to. Oh, no, okay. I gotcha. I'm smart.
Okay. So, oh, yeah. But one thing I forgot to mention about J.P. Morgan, actually, was he was supposed to take that trip on the Titanic.
That's right.
This is where people get suspicious. This is where I think people are like, oh, hang on a second. He calls in sick at the last minute to go tapestry shopping in France.
Mm-hmm. There's another report that he was unwell and he was taking the cure at Aix-en-Provence in France, something. I don't know.
True. Yeah. I mean, if I needed to skip out on something, I would tell him that I was taking the cure in Aix-en-Provence. You know.
That was very good.
And also one of his buddies, one of his jostling buddies, Mr. Hershey, I believe
Milton Hershey of the Hershey's Candy Company.
So, yeah. So he also called in sick at the last minute and was like, yeah, I've got other shit on. I can't make it on this like landmark voyage across the ocean. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, J.P. Morgan, he spends like years building this like historical ship. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to break records, that's going to put his name on the map. And he's like, at the last second, he's like, actually, I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll see you guys later. I'll see you on the other side.
Ooh, dark.
Yeah. Oh, oh
no, okay. He's going to hell for sure, right? If such things could be said to exist.
I mean, it depends. Like, maybe setting up the Federal Reserve was a good thing.
Good enough to justify killing 900 people or whatever it was.
Oh, my God. Would that be like the first time an American would be accused of like
mass murder
for the benefit of the economy?
Like a false flag operation? Maybe.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Conspiracy theorists, let us know in the comments. Please don't.
Yeah, please don't. Okay, so but to get to your question, right? Of how did he know about this mummy, right?
Yeah, because that's the thing that's tough. You got to connect them for me.
This is what freaked me out, okay? And I'm serious. I'm not messing here, okay?
Okay.
So I was like looking at these two separate until now conspiracy theories and going, if only, like, I knew in my heart that J.P. Morgan was in some way involved in getting this mummy onto that ship, but I just, he hid it himself pretty well, right? But I came across this article. Did you come across this article from the little publication called the New York Times?
I don't believe that I did.
It was originally published in March 1912, which, as we all know, is a month before the Titanic set sail and sank. And the title of this here article, oh, you're looking it up.
Crap. Yes, I am. I want to trust you, but... Okay,
is J.P. Morgan dug into Egypt's past. Gasps abound.
That is interesting. I'm interested.
So I first got curious, right, when I was on J.P. Morgan's Wikipedia page. Sorry, when I was doing like fast research into J.P. Morgan.
Sure.
And I saw that his occupation was financier and art collector, right? And then I found that he also had his thumbs, in the museums, in a lot of the museums. Like, so he was like...
A lot, yeah. I think this was a time when a lot of people who had gotten very, very wealthy off of oil baron type of stuff.
I think he helped set up the Metropolitan Museum. I think it's in New York. Don't quote me on that.
No, you're doing great.
Quote me on everything else.
Okay.
Everything else should be in my obituary. But
you want everyone to know that the Titanic is the greatest movie of all time.
That fact. Connor Dowling, sure. Filmmaker, yeah. Just that fact. Just
I miss my wife, out. I miss my sons, and also Titanic was the best movie of all time.
Exactly. So Morgan was also a big religious, I was going to say fanatic, but that sounds like it might be offensive, supporter of religion.
A supporter of God.
Yeah. And he funded these excavations in Egypt. And he actually spent so much time there that he built a house right next to the ruins of a tomb that had remnants of like Ramses II. Okay.
Okay.
Which is crazy, right? One thing I forgot to mention at the very start of this, which was a was going to be a good setup was the original mummy was supposedly found in a place called Luxor.
Mm-hmm. That's and, a place.
Yeah, it's a place in Egypt. And J.P. Morgan, in this article that I've spoken of, he built a ship to house his entourage while he was on this journey in Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the first, Titanic wasn't the first ship he built. Mm-hmm. And he sailed up the Nile and visited Cairo. Mm-hmm. He visited other cities that
sure,
I haven't
written down here,
but also Luxor.
Luxor is also a hotel in Las Vegas where they have the Titanic stuff.
No.
I mean, Caitlin, you can't make it up.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Makes you think.
It does make me think. So you can imagine how excited and terrified I was when I came across this bit of information.
This is very interesting. Isn't it very interesting.
Was this something you were aware of?
It was not. I cannot find the original New York Times article. It might not have been digitized. Good. But there is a...
Because I was in the library looking up back issues.
Going through microfiches.
I went to New York.
I mean, you're a dedicated dude. I don't know. The only place that I could find it was on encyclopediatitanica.org, but it is a .org, which makes me think it's legit. So I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I might have set up that website, but like, maybe I didn't.
Yeah. And this one says he was excavating it, helping to excavate an early Christian site, sounds like.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
An early Christian site. And then when they were there, they were like, oh, there's also an early Roman site as well. And he was like, yeah, here's a bunch of cash and get that going as well.
Interesting.
So I feel like that's the link.
That's an interesting link.
Isn't it? Like, I mean.
It's very interesting.
Because there was no link until I found that.
Yeah. No one thought to combine these theories ever.
It was just a gut feeling.
Yeah.
It was literally just a gut feeling.
You just somehow knew. Here's my question for you. J.P. Morgan, you said, is a big God fan. I think he went to theological school. I think I saw that in his bio. If he is very Christian, what's he doing messing around with curses? Isn't that very, very naughty?
I think it's suspicious. I think...
It makes me feel like, wow, would he really do that? You know what I mean? Like... It's against all his moral instincts.
But we don't know that he was like a monogamous Christian. We don't know that. He could have just believed in it all.
Okay.
You know, he could have just been like, just give me everything that's out there. Maybe he found there was nothing in Christianity to support his diabolical plan. So he started, you know. Looking at a few places on the side. Started saying, what's Egypt got?
So Ra was kind of his side piece.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like. And then he finds this Egyptian curse and he's like, I've got an idea. And then he sets up those guys to find the mummy's sarcophagus and bring it back. And
He didn't want to do the digging on his own.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Because of the curse.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think he brought... Someone did an article about his visit to Egypt. So, you know, he's going to have control over what he tells them. Oh, we're doing a Christian graveyard dig. We're doing a Roman dig. I'm a great philanthropist. Look at me. I've got the Egyptologist expert from the Metropolitan Museum of New York with me on this trip.
I'm just throwing around money left and right.
Yeah.
Like I'm Rihanna in the strip club.
And the journalist is like, oh, what were you doing in Luxor last week? Never mind. I was visiting. I'm thinking of naming a casino after it in Las Vegas.
Damn.
Someday.
Amazing. The rich stay rich and then they murder everybody. Okay. Question the next.
Okay.
So it is true that J.P. Morgan was an investor in the White Star Line, which was the line that sort of built the Titanic. What I'd like to know is everybody's billing it as unsinkable. Was his plan just get him on the ship with the mummy, see what happens? Or was it, I know that this ship is not unsinkable?
That's a really good question. And I think the answer is, I know that that mummy is, the further that mummy gets away from its resting place in Egypt, the bigger the damage it's going to do.
Okay.
When it's in England, it's messing up the lives of everyone who comes into contact with it.
Sure.
When it's in the ocean, in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, it has no business being there. It's freaking out. and it's just mummy curse is just emanating from it and acting like some sort of magnet towards that iceberg.
Jeepers.
Yeah, it's really messed up when you think about it.
So he sent that ship out there knowing that it could be sunk by some sort of adverse conditions.
He said, we built this thing so damn well. The only thing that could sink it, because we're such damn good engineers, the only thing that could sink it is a mummy's curse.
So was there an iceberg involved at all?
No, I think there was. I'm not an iceberg denier.
Okay. Jet fuel can melt steel beams, and there was an iceberg involved.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah. Come on. Like, I'm not crazy. Like.
Okay. Okay. So you say? Okay, so, but the mummy sort of honed in on the iceberg and was like, we're doing this. I'd rather be at the bottom of the ocean than any further away from Egypt.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that, it makes it sound like the mummy kind of has a really, like, conscious objective.
Sort of does, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's more of like, it's almost like a sleeper agent, you know? That's the way I see it. It's like, as soon as you unlock that tomb, it's just like, bad stuff is happening. I'm going to make bad stuff happen to the people who are disturbing me. So it's not exactly like, you know, got to get that iceberg. It's just like attracts. It's like just this kind of energy that kind of attracts like really bad stuff, you know. And I think ultimately, you know, JP didn't get away unscathed. Like he died a year later, you know, of the sickness.
What's it? Syphilis?
No, just the sickness.
Oh,
that
just
he was
like the mummy disease.
From.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever
okay.
It was.
Whatever he had to take the cure for.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It's the 1900s. I just assume syphilis. Okay. So no one escapes the curse kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, like, not us, right?
I mean, it's in the water is the thing.
On the way here, on my drive here, the posters on the street, King Tut, King Tut, in my face. Like
That's so true. I didn't think about it. Yeah, they've got a King Tut mummy at the Broad or no,
okay,
they wouldn't
I'm
have
not
it
going
there.
To visit it.
Like, I don't fuck with that stuff.
I might go to Home Depot and get some mummy paint.
I'm so sorry to be the one to tell you this. They don't sell it anymore.
What?
It's sort of illegal. Caitlin. It's sort of disrespectful.
Okay, yeah, it is
sort of unsafe. Okay. Now, I hate to bring in more theories, but one of the major, and I know Titanic heads will be mad if we don't bring it up, one of the major Titanic conspiracy theories is that it was not actually the Titanic that was sunk. It was its sister ship, the Olympia. I think it's the Olympic.
Oh, the Olympic. Okay, cool.
I wrote down Olympic, but it might have been an autocorrect problem.
Yeah.
What do you say to that? Where do you fall?
I don't see the point of that, really. To be honest, like, as that kept coming up when I was researching this, and I was like, get out of my way, like, you know, I'm trying to find the truth here. And I just felt it was just muddying the water. Like, do you have any opinion on that, or any, like, I didn't do much on that because I just felt, why?
Yeah,
like,
I also didn't do a ton. Yeah, I felt the same way. It was sort of like, I don't see a clear motivation for this.
And even if they did, like, it had a slightly different name, like, you know.
It also was a ship that was big and sank and people died.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Oh, and I forgot to include, and you probably know this as well, where J.P. Morgan got the idea for this master plan.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right.
I heard about this when I was like 9 and forgot about it.
When
and then
the
was
movie
like,
of the Titanic
what
came out, it was
heck?
Like, oh, but didn't you hear that? And actually, when I was younger, I remember hearing there was another ship that already happened to, but whoever was telling me was clearly mistaken with this story, which is there was a book written like 14 years before the Titanic sank. And it was, this is real. And it was called
The Wreck of the Titan.
Yes. The Wreck of the Titan. And it was about
Titan was the name of the ship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was about this massive ship, very similar in size to the one that JP Morgan built. And it hit an iceberg in the middle of the ocean. And the thousands of people that were on board, a lot of them died because there was a lack of lifeboats. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are thinking, you know, oh, did he like read that book and be like, yes, I've got the best plan ever, but how can I pull it off? If only I had some sort of
guarantee
secret weapon
that it was
going
to... Oh boy, an interesting idea. Okay, so... The motivations for this in your argument are money.
Yeah.
JP Morgan, partly.
Did you say mummy or money?
It's very funny. Money with an N.
Okay, good.
Or did I mean mummy like a mother? You know what I mean? Maybe JP Morgan had like a fucked up relationship with his mom.
He doesn't.
Maybe that, oh, her, that was her in the hold. You don't know.
Oh,
prove it.
That's
maybe he mummified his freaking mom. Maybe he went to Egypt to learn how to mummify, mummified his mom, flew her to England, put her on the boat because she was a bitch. She's going to sink the boat.
That's a whole extra episode.
It all makes perfect sense. We'll do a part two later when we all come to Ireland.
Whoa.
So the motivation was M-O-N-E-Y. J.P. Morgan loved it. And also sort of like, oh, I want to do what's right for America. I think a Federal Reserve is the safer way to go. Mm-hmm. He cost himself and all the other investors in the Titanic and the White Star Line chichillions of dollars. The boat, and some people said, oh, he did it for the insurance money. The boat was underinsured because the builders were so confident that it was unsinkable.
Wow.
So when it did go down, everybody lost money.
Okay.
And that's not talked about because it's insensitive in the face of the loss of life.
Yeah, of course.
But that the it's very easy to poke holes in the it was for the insurance money argument.
Right, okay.
So if JP Morgan is a money-minded guy, why did he pick such an expensive way of just knocking out three rivals?
Do you think that it was like a business expense?
Because like he wrote it off on his taxes?
It's essentially that, you know, this is like, you got to take this little hit to lay the foundation for this bigger investment of the Federal Reserve. Because I suppose my knee-jerk reaction when you first said that, I was like, oh, the insurance man, he took out the policy, bro. And it's like, well, you made a really good point that like, because they thought it was unsinkable. They were so confident. And that's probably why they didn't have as many lifeboats on it, because they were like, we're only going across the Atlantic and it's unsinkable. Like, we think it's unsinkable, so that means it's
unsinkable. These lifeboats are taking up chandelier space. Exactly. Like, get them out of here.
How are we going to play cricket on the deck?
We've got to play more
cricket. We've got too many lifeboats in the way.
So you think it was sort of like, take the little hit now for the bigger payoff?
I mean, that's what I'm thinking now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of the Federal Reserve and people being pro and anti,
which I know loads about.
Listen, I'm not going to bring it up because my ignorance is astounding and I also don't really understand what it is.
Just say it and it'll make us sound like we know stuff about the
Federal
economy.
Reserve and, of course, obviously,
the gold standard.
Income tax and Lincoln. I have not seen any evidence online that the three men that are commonly spoken of as the target of this hit, I haven't seen any evidence that they were actually not in favor of the Federal Reserve.
Interesting.
I looked them up.
Yeah.
I looked up their policies on the Federal Reserve. Doesn't seem like they particularly made any public statements about it.
Okay.
So, and in addition, there were other people who were anti-Federal Reserve, in particular international bankers, people who had a lot of holdings in other countries, who, when the dollar was weaker, it was easier to invest in. It was easier to convince their foreign clients to invest in America. Whew, I hope I said that right. So to target these three particular men and ignore more public critics of the Federal Reserve doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I hear you.
I feel heard. Thank you.
That's good. This is a hearing space.
Mm.
What I would say to that is that I believe those three men were not publicly outspoken about their anti-Federal Reserve-isms because it was bad for business. Okay, it was a hot take to take at the time. Okay. And I think JP Morgan knew that they were the key players. They were the real key players. There were other people. Maybe he invited them. I know I'm getting into the land of what ifs, but maybe he invited them on board the so-called other protesters of the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm. and they were like,
I'm good.
Yours.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I've been on a ship before. I'd rather not be on one for like however long it must take to cross the Atlantic Ocean at like 25 miles per hour.
a long ass time. I think the technical term is a long ass time. Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I'm thinking. But, you know, I don't, I'll be honest, I don't have the hard evidence, like, you know.
Okay. An interesting point.
Back just that element of my story.
Okay. Everything else, yeah. Rock solid.
It's there. It's
Curse all
there.
Mummy, for sure.
Yeah.
Another little hole in this plan that I just want to poke at is that a lot of people died on the Titanic, but not everybody. There were some lifeboats, which someone who was an investor in the project would have known. So it seems like a pretty foolhardy plan when these three guys already live in New York, are probably at some point all going to be at a party together, to take them out in a way that is not a guarantee that they will actually die.
Well, I think that in his mind... Because I feel like I've got a link there.
Get in there.
But I'm in
clearly
there.
Clearly, because you knew about this link between the mummy
before
and Morgan. Yeah.
That genuinely, I swear to God, when I saw that article, I was like, oh my God, are they going to come after me?
Have you ever wondered if you might be like a reincarnation of JP Morgan?
I thought you were going to say of Amin Ra.
Oh, that priestess. Seems unlikely because she's sort of still living through her malice.
She's down there. Mm. She's down in the ocean. Yeah. Mm. JP Morgan, I mean, I'll have to think about that. There could be some connection there. Maybe he's got some Irish roots.
Ooh,
who
maybe.
Doesn't like?
Yeah.
You know?
Who doesn't like?
I think, sorry, what was your question again?
That seems like a very needlessly complicated plan.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those no one will ever suspect it because it's so complicated, because it's so big. No one's going to think, you know, no one's going to think, oh, he got everyone together onto this ship and then sank it. Somehow.
But also there was no guarantee that they would be the ones to die, right?
But you got to think from JP's perspective.
Okay.
I've got a mummy on board, a cursed mummy. Cursed mummy is like trump card. You know, that's like
it will do my bidding.
That will take everyone out. So if anything, when only half the people don't make it, he's gone. What's going on? I thought I had a mummy.
That's
here.
A weak ass mummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to have some lifeboats. You got to have some lifeboats.
It would look bad if there were
If there were no lifeboats, people would be going, okay, you know, like unsinkable, sure, but like,
you're taking a piss. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Very interesting. I want to talk, we talked a lot about Morgan. We haven't given Amun-Ra her due.
Sure.
And I want to start with that name because the name in all the sources is Amen-Ra.
Okay.
Sounds suspiciously like a British person's mishearing of the name Amun-Ra.
Oh.
Now, okay. Amun-Ra is a god. And so there were priests and priestesses of Amun-Ra.
Yes, okay.
Nobody's name was Amun-Ra.
That makes sense.
That was the name of a god.
Yeah.
You're not going to name your kid God.
I did read she was an evil priestess of Amen-Ra.
Doesn't exist.
Right.
That's the British version.
But you're saying that there are priests of Amun-Ra.
Yes. Okay. And that wouldn't have been, yeah. I think in a lot of the texts, it was sort of like her name was Amen-Ra. Yeah. And it's sort of like, you're making shit up. So I want to inject a little bit of doubt in here.
I hear you.
That the people who were like, aha, a cursed mummy, knew what the fuck they were talking about. And I also want to talk about the fact that there is a tombstone of a priestess of Amun-Ra, no mummy because the mummy was not, I think the mummy had disintegrated in the tomb, so the mummy was not transportable, that currently resides in the British Museum and has been there since the 1800s.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that. And I think that's kind of the thing that everyone uses to debunk the mummy idea that, oh no, there was no mummy. There was this lid. It's like
sarcophagus,
the lid of a sarcophagus.
Yeah.
And it's still there today. If you want to go see it, it's like, okay, no thanks. I'm not going to go see it. I don't want to mess with that stuff. Okay,
I
as we know.
I respect that.
But I think that in its sense debunks itself because all they've got is a lid. All they've got is a lid. So where was the freaking mummy?
Okay.
Show me the mummy.
I can't. I cannot. Jerry Maguire. I cannot show you the mummy.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that they got the sarcophagus. They got the lid of the sarcophagus, which doesn't really necessarily count as a sarcophagus. And this no-nonsense Billy Zane type.
Johnson.
Thank you. He took the body. He smuggled the body onto the boat.
Mm-hmm. Then let's talk about why if the body was in the cargo hold in the cargo manifest, which was shown to one Charles Haas, president of the National Titanic Historical Society in 1985, and there was no mummy on it.
Would you care to list the items that he did find on it, Caitlin?
There was brush stuff. Stuff for making hats. Others, I don't remember.
Okay, well, I happen to have the list.
No, you don't.
Right here.
What a treat.
And this is the smoking gun.
Ooh.
For mummy being at Charles. Is that his name, Charles?
Yeah, Charles Haas.
Look closer, Charles. Look closer. Okay. Leather.
Mm-hmm.
Straw.
Mm-hmm.
Furs. Apples.
Sure.
Tissue.
Mm-hmm.
What are mummies made of?
Tissue. And tissues.
Exactly.
Human tissue and also tissues. So you think Charles was just like, oh, it's just a bunch of weird wrappings.
Whoever was marking it off in the cargo hold, they were like, there's some paintings, there's a car with steamy windows, and there is just a big pile of tissue in the shape of a person. Mm. Mark it off as tissue.
Okay. Do you think that person was paid off or they were just not good at their job?
No, I think they were just doing their job badly and spreading an eternity of misinformation as a result.
Wow. Yeah. Heavy. Heavy shit. Okay, that's very interesting. So I only have one last sort of argument to make to you, which is that the origins of this story are often traced to, the mummy story in particular, are often traced to one Madame Blavatsky.
Yes.
Who was sort of a notorious spiritualist.
Occultist type, yeah.
Of the time, who sort of shortly before the ship set sail, saw the mummy in England and was like, this mummy is the devil. All these people have died because of it. And so she was the one who was sort of responsible for spreading the story. A great story, except that Madame Blavatsky had been dead for 20 years before the Titanic sailed. There's no way she could have come into contact with the mummy. We have no firsthand sources for anyone who actually saw the mummy because it is claimed that everybody died or went crazy or killed themselves. And the man who was on board the Titanic, George Stead?
William Stead.
William Stead. Thank you. Was telling the story about Madame Blavatsky and not saying that the mummy was actually on board. And the stories got confused afterwards and the mummy got conflated with the Titanic story. So he was telling a ghost story at the captain's table that had nothing to do with the mummy being on board about Madame Blavatsky, who couldn't have seen the mummy because she'd been dead for 20 years. And then people got it confused and wrapped up in the mythology, much like
so to speak.
A body getting wrapped up in mummy thread. Your rebuttal?
I hear you. I hear you. So you're saying that people were using this Madame Reblatsky's reputation as an occultist for kind of
spooky effect.
Yeah, spooky effect, and for credibility to their to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, and I think that's wrong. I don't think people should do that.
Okay. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I think they shouldn't have been doing that. I think I read a version, because I read a version where William Stead was just telling this spooky ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Astoria or Astor was like, oh, is it true, darling? And her husband was like, oh, he's a writer. He's paid to lie. But I also read a version where he told the story and the mummy was on the ship. And that's the version I believe.
You know, it's tough. It's which one is fake news? It's hard to tell in this day and age.
Yeah. But I think you have made a really good point. I think if there is an argument against my story, I think that's probably it. But now that JP and the mummy story are together, like what would be your argument kind of against that? Because I think JP and the mummy together, I think that makes a stronger story,
mm-hmm.
technically.
Mm-hmm. Sure, why not?
Yeah. So, I mean, does that convince you a little bit more?
I guess you're going to have to wait until I give it my ranking.
Okay.
To find out. And this is perfect timing because that's all my arguments. And so now I just need a little time to deliberate and sort of think this through and think about how convinced I am.
Yeah.
So you get the mic. You can talk about whatever you want. You can talk about your podcast. You could talk about your other truther beliefs.
Those are my only beliefs.
Okay.
Of my entire life, I believe in nothing else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah. I know. I always listen to your podcast, and I always hear this part, and I go, "What would I do on that part?" But right now, I'm so on the spot, and I think I've just used all my energy. You know, I've channeled a lot of J.P. Morgan, and I'm feeling a little bit kind of low energy after that. So I think I'm just gonna have a quick glance at my notes to make sure I didn't leave out any. Oh, I didn't mention the Freemasonry link.
No, please talk about the Freemasonry.
Well, it's very brief. It's very brief. And it kind of just raised my eyebrow a little bit, okay? But basically, some people believe that JP was a Freemason, right? And do you know where Freemasonry originated? Jolly old Egypt.
As the nickname has always been.
So just wanted to see if that helps.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that into consideration.
Okay,
okay. Okay, cool. Okay.
Do I have any pets? No, I don't. I'm not allowed.
By who?
Well, that's a knee-jerk reaction from years of not being allowed to have pets at home. So I've carried that on into adulthood.
You need to free yourself from that. You're the only person who's not allowing you.
Well, me and my girlfriend, we have a really small place at the moment. So, you know, someday we'll have pets. I hope.
If she allows you.
Well, I have to get past her first, don't I?
That's what relationships are, just getting past the other person.
I stayed in an Airbnb actually on my trip here, and my roommate on the Airbnb was three other cats.
Wow.
So that was a really, I have a funny photo of a cat trying to get under a door. Like he's like half his body is like under the crack of a door. And one of them pounced on my face while I was asleep, and that was really funny. But like they were good company. You know?
Yeah, cats are great company.
Yeah, I do want to. It has got me thinking about getting a cat.
That was a good test run.
It was, yeah. Like I could handle that. Like, you know,
the face pouncing.
I literally opened my eyes first thing in the morning, and the cat pounced on my face.
So stressful.
But I still left a good review at the Airbnb because you know it made me feel like I wasn't there by myself. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah, that's lovely. Mm. Okay, are you ready? I have my verdict.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Yes,
wonderful.
I close my notes because I think they've served their purpose.
They now. Were very thorough. I'm very impressed. Want to believe? Out of 10 economic unpleasantnesses, I'm going to give this one an 8.
Oh,
I want to believe. I want too bad.
I've dazzled you.
It's a dazzling theory.
It is.
Because one, it makes things weirdly feel sort of less tragic because it's like, you know what? It's all according to a curse. And when you steal bodies, there are ramifications. Mm-hmm. You colonizers. And also it's just, what a story. Mm-hmm. Something that combines the federal banking system with Egyptian mummies.
You don't hear much of that.
No, not nearly enough. And the Freemason stuff bumps it up to an 8. Do believe. Out of 10 Billy Zane movies, I give this one a 6. Oh. You've tipped me over.
Caitlin.
This is compelling stuff. Do I believe in curses? No. But I'm starting to think Morgan might have had something to do with it. And the fact that he's got the Egypt link, pretty weird.
That's for me, that was the thing. I'm impressed. Okay, I feel like
you did what you came to America to do.
I hope I haven't ruined things for myself in some way. Like I hope
people are gonna
Morgan isn't after me now. And
it is almost certain that he is, but what's he gonna do? He's a freaking ghost.
Well, we all know what ghosts can do, right? After the mummy unpleasantness.
Are mummies ghosts?
Oh, there's definitely a spirit in there, right? I mean, the body thing. Oh,
right.
It's a whole thought experiment.
That's a whole nother episode.
It is. On the next American trip.
Perfect. Yeah. We've got 3 lined up. What do you want to plug? Where should people find you if they want more Connor Dowling?
Good question. I suppose my Instagram is always looking for followers. Connor_Owling. Mm-hmm. That's my handle. And
should people listen to
Real Horror Show podcasts? If you like horror movies, we love chatting about them. And then my improv group, The Ungrateful Dodos. If you're in Edinburgh on August of this year, come and see us.
Do it. They're fun. Oh, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much.
This was a treat.
Such a pleasure.
Wonderful. And for doing all that research.
Oh, of course.
What a dream. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lizard People. I've been your host, Caitlin Hempstead, and if you're interested in supporting the show, you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Bye!
Campfire.